in a discussion about America's founding fathers with fellow CNN host Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon said that Jesus Christ is not perfect. Alarmingly, George Barna says that almost half of Americans hold to this particular view, this view that Jesus sinned. Lemon was defending the destruction of statues when he made the most peculiar comment. In his diatribe, Lemon said, "Maybe we should take down the statues because those who defend the statues are deifying the country's founders." In other words, people who want to keep the statues up are making the founders into gods. So destroying them is actually good because you're pushing them off their pedestals. Pardon the pun. To bolster his argument, Lemon used Jesus as a nonsensical example of someone who was admittedly not perfect. Lemon compared Jesus to America's founders who were imperfect and not deity. Well, Don, it's not up to you. Jesus is deity. You have no say in the matter. You can't have perfection without deity. Jesus was perfect because he was deity, and because Jesus was deity, he was perfect. The word Don uses, admittedly, is strange to me. Jesus was admittedly not perfect according to whom? Who is admitting that? Lemon said, and I quote, "Jesus Christ, if that's who you believe in, Jesus Christ admittedly was not perfect when he was here on this earth. So why are we deifying the founders of this country, many of whom own slaves?" Now, I think Lemon may have a point about the founders being slave owners. I've heard a lot of excuses for it, like it was illegal to free your slaves back then. And it was, but you ever hear of the phrase civil disobedience? There's going to be a lot of things coming down the pike that government will say is illegal, but if it violates God's laws, I'm out. That aside, Don Lemon certainly knows better than to compare Jesus to our imperfect founding fathers. He grew up Baptist, and he attended Catholic school. Catholic teaching, just like good old Baptist teaching, affirms that Jesus was like us in all things except sin. Regardless of whether or not Lemon believes it now, he grew up learning Christian doctrine, and he should have known better than to make a blatantly false statement about Jesus. And Cuomo, who is a professing Roman Catholic, should have immediately jumped up and down when this comment was made. Instead, Cuomo sat there blinking stupidly while Lemon blasphemed Jesus Christ. What else can you expect from a guy who said, and I quote, "We don't need help from above"? Well, I'm not about to sit by blinking stupidly when blasphemous comments are made about Jesus Christ. As I said last week, the memory of Jesus belongs in the hands of those who know him and love him. If Lemon's statement goes unchallenged, we are letting someone who does not love Jesus define him. I'm going to hoot and holler every time the media tries to defame Jesus, and it just might turn into a full-time job. Why would Don Lemon, who grew up Baptist and then attended a Catholic school, make such a heretical comment? In an article titled, "My Faith, How I Learned to Stop Praying Away the Gay," Lemon wrote that he was struggling with same-sex attraction since he was a young boy. He claims that in his Baptist church, preachers taught that liking someone of the same sex was a direct and swift path to hell. And he prayed and prayed for God to change him until he started attending college in New York. Lemon continues in his article, "That's when common sense began to take hold and I realized that no amount of prayer could change me into something that wasn't natural to me." He decided that the Bible was about the lessons you learned, not about the events or words. And the next comment that Lemon makes is telling, and it gives us insight into why he felt free to say what he did. He wrote this, "Thinking religious teachings happened word for word as they were written in Scripture is naive, even dangerous." So let me translate. You can't take the Bible literally, it's full of errors. In my experience, people who practice homosexuality do one of two things with the Bible. One, they revise it to make it say what they want it to. And two, they often claim it is riddled with errors. Lemon has chosen the latter. This is why Lemon didn't bat an eyelash when he claimed that Jesus Christ was imperfect. If we say the Bible is full of naive and dangerous teachings, then we can dismiss its claims that Christ is perfect. Now, I do agree with Lemon. Our founding fathers were imperfect human beings. And as I have stated before, I can take or leave the statues. But what I don't understand is trying to tie Jesus to them. Jesus was unlike any man represented by these statues. As the founder of our faith, he had to be perfect. If he was not perfect, we all would be lost. Now, if Lemon meant that as a human being, Jesus didn't do everything perfectly, I might be inclined to agree. Did Jesus ever get sick? When he was pounding a nail, did he ever accidentally hit his thumbnail? Did he ever trip on a stone as he was walking down the road? The scriptures are wisely silent about this kind of stuff, but I think it is safe to assume that Jesus may have missed a nail on occasion. He might have tripped on a stone once or twice, and he probably got sick a time or two. In the purely human concept of perfection, Jesus probably suffered from the same kinds of things that we do. The absence of mistakes is not what made him perfect. Being without sin is what made him perfect. Hebrews 4:15 makes that crystal clear. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The difference between Jesus and us is when he accidentally pounded his thumbnail or got sick or tripped on a stone, he didn't go to cussing and kicking the dog because he was without sin. When we say, hey, I'm not perfect, what we're usually doing is defending a sin. If Jesus ever said, which I doubt, why would he ever say this, I'm not perfect, he would be editorializing his imperfection as a human being. The human body is not perfect. Human actions can be miscalculated and imperfect. When I fell off my bike, it was not a sin. It was human error. There's a big difference between human error and sin. So unless Lemon was talking about this kind of human error, teenage blemishes or dandruff as being signs of imperfection, and you know as well as I do, that is not what he meant. I vehemently disagree with his comments, and I hold him personally responsible. Not only do I hold him personally responsible, but God will hold him personally responsible too. If he didn't have the background that he had, I might not go as hard on him as I am today. Actually, Jesus was perfect. Even if you want to remove it from the Bible, which you think is full of errors from the debate, every other early record claims that Christ was perfect. Well, the Bible is nothing but a storybook. It's not, but fine, let's say it is for 1 second. I double dog dare you to name another story whose main character is perfect. Perfect in love, perfect in teaching, perfect in debate, perfect in death, and his resurrection was the pinnacle of perfection. There's only one story out there, fact or fictional, whose main character is perfect. If Lemon is right, then the Bible is wrong. And I'm going to go with the Bible every single time. The Bible makes it explicitly clear that Jesus Christ was in fact perfect as he lived a sinless life on this earth. 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Trying to wrap our heads around someone who has lived a life without committing one sin is really tough for us human beings to do. You imagine growing up with Jesus Christ? Somebody steals something from the cookie jar, Well, it wasn't Jesus. Can you imagine being his brothers and sisters every time something bad happened? And we're like, oh, well, we know it wasn't Jesus. It would be tough. Understanding the sinless perfection of the Son of God is an essential issue regarding our salvation. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we need a Savior. Now, my surgeon, I think he did a pretty good job on my elbow, but he's a human being, and as such, he is not perfect, and he can't save my soul. An imperfect man cannot save imperfect people from hell. Only a perfect man can do that. Until now, most Christians have never ever questioned whether or not Jesus Christ was perfect. So maybe Don Lemon has done us a favor, because now we can lay our cards all on the table and say once and for all, he was perfect. Hebrews 5:9 settles the matter. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We usually personally define what we mean by perfect. We talk about a perfect day, a perfect date, a perfect crime, or a perfect gentleman. We say something is perfect because it meets our requirements or it makes us feel happy. Common usage of the word perfect is purely subjective. Your idea of perfection and mine will probably differ widely. Now, I think Dove chocolate squares are the perfect chocolate. Zeb would say Hershey's Kisses are. I think Desperado by the Eagles is the perfect song, but you might think the song is a little slow and a little schmaltzy, in which case you and I would disagree on what the perfect song is. It's not uncommon to say that, to hear people say there's no such thing as a perfect diamond, but there is such a thing as a flawless diamond, which is a diamond that has no visible imperfections at 10 times magnification. The largest flawless diamond in the world is known as the Paragon, which is a D color, which means it's colorless, and it weighs in at 137.82 carats. It is the 10th largest white diamond in the world. This gem was mined in Brazil. Graff Diamonds acquired the stone in Antwerp and cut it into an unusual seven-sided kite shield shape. Even though the Paragon is considered perfect, there are those who would quibble with the distinction, saying it's too big and gaudy. When I write a harmony for the bass, I rely on certain intervals in the key in which the song is written. These intervals are called thirds and perfect fifths. There are eight notes in a scale. The distance between the notes are called intervals. Only the first, the fourth, the third, no, not the third, the fifth and the eighth intervals can be designated as perfect. Perfect intervals have a certain ring, a certain sound to them that other intervals do not. To the ear, they have a more beautiful and resonating sound. These pleasing sounds have to do with the sound wave frequencies that they make. Desi sang Shania Twain's From This Moment at their wedding reception. Initially, I wrote a bass part using thirds, but when Stephen played it, we both did not think it sounded right. So I quickly rewrote it using perfect fifths, and it was perfect. I wish you could have heard it. Desi singing with Stephen playing the guitar, because boop, that happened, and Stephen on the bass, who provided undercurrents of harmony and movement for the song. It was beautiful. Still, some better musicians than me would argue that thirds would have indeed been better, and technically, they're the ones you should use. My point is, there is no universally acknowledged human standard of perfection on which we can all agree. We generally accept the fact that perfection is in the ear and the eye of the beholder. But in one instance, it is not your place to agree or disagree, and your subjectivity has no bearing on the matter. Jesus Christ was perfect. Stay in your lane, Mr. Lemon. I think the dictionary gives us a perfect definition of perfect. The dictionary defines perfect as being entirely without fault or defect, flawless, satisfying all requirements, accurate, corresponding to an ideal standard. There is no room for subjectivity or bias here. In this definition, we see Jesus Christ. As the sacrificial Lamb of God, he was entirely without fault or defect. He satisfied all of God's requirements and was the ideal standard. Our sins blind us to the true nature of Christ's perfection. And in this blindness, we tend to project onto Jesus our own ideas of what it means to be perfect. This is what Don Lemon has done. He projected his own imperfections onto Jesus. Maybe Lemon is hoping that Jesus really isn't perfect because then Jesus won't be as likely to hold him accountable for his sins. How shall we respond to a guy like Don Lemon? Given Don's background, I have to believe that any scripture I would throw at him, he already knows it. But we cannot underestimate the power of scripture, and we must be prepared to use it. 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Now, do I think there's a Bible verse out there that will persuade Don Lemon? I don't. And in a way, I understand this. A Muslim could never convince me to convert to Islam by quoting the Quran. A Mormon could never convince me to convert to Mormonism by quoting from the Book of Mormon. Why not? I put no credence in their books, just like Lemon puts no credence in the Bible. But as I think about it, I realize it's not up to me to convince Don Lemon of anything. It is only my responsibility to hold forth the word of truth. What I'm about to say next might seem a little harsh, but I hope you stick with me for just a second. Matthew 7:6 says in part, "Do not throw your pearls before swine." Jesus is using pigs metaphorically to describe people who reject, ridicule, and blaspheme the gospel once it has been presented to them. We are not to expose the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who openly scorn it. Repeatedly sharing the gospel with someone who continually scoffs and ridicules Christ is like casting your pearls before swine. Well, that's not very nice. Aren't Christians supposed to be nice little doormats all the time? Not according to Matthew 7:6. We are to treat the gospel as a precious pearl, guarding it and protecting it. I know a lot of Christians believe they should keep lovingly presenting the gospel when the ones that they're presenting it to keep spitting on it. But this is not what the Bible teaches us to do. I don't know where Mr. Lemon is in all of this. I don't know if he's at the point where we shouldn't keep sharing the gospel with him. But this is what I would say to him if I met him today. Don, believe on the perfect Lord Jesus Christ, and you, Don, will be saved. To our listening friends today, we offer you the precious pearl of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is precious. It is timeless. It is flawless. It meets God's holy standard. And it is what will save your soul. We urge you to receive it today. And if this message has touched you and has reached you in a place where you recognize that you want to receive the gospel today, please contact us in our private messenger on Facebook, and we will get right back to you. If you do not have a Bible, we, as Faith Wesleyan Church, would like to gift you one. And if you would contact us also in our Facebook Messenger, we will do that. But we urge you today to receive this precious pearl of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God's one and only Son, the perfect Lamb of God, has come to take away our sins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the perfect Lamb of God. And we pray for those who are listening today, who may not have come to believe in this perfect Lamb of God, whose story is contained in the pearl-like gospel. May hearts be touched, even as we pray. Amen.